The sun is out and our blockade is legal.
Here's blockade.
Join Robin, Sean, Andrew, Jalen right now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Brick City Blockade podcast here. Of course, this is Robin Vogt, your host here on the Make the Jump special episode. And sitting across from me is somebody who I've been following religiously on Instagram, not just through artwork, but as I'm starting to learn, the fandom is deep with this individual. Inamaze is here live on the podcast. How is it going this evening, my friend? And welcome to the Brick City Blockade.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Obviously, Inamaze is the name of the project, which we'll get into. JD is totally fine. Inamaze can be a mouthful sometimes, so we'll go with JD. Yeah.
Love it. Establishing our names is really important. And, it's like kind of figuring out that character. I didn't know JD was your name. I learned it now. I can roll forward with it. So, JD, it's awesome to have you on the show here. Now, I got to kick it off, here. Following your stuff on Instagram and everything that you do, the Brick City Blockade, we attend conventions. We love meeting new artists, folks who are doing amazing work in the field. However, we have never had somebody come on who has done NFT work before. So, JD, if you could just give us a rundown for all the blockaders out there watching this, listening to it, maybe who don't know, I don't know why, but what are NFTs and how did you specifically get into this art form?
Ooh, that's a deep question. Star Wars universe in general, there are a lot of actually NFTs, official NFTs for Star Wars, that are really cool, actually. But NFTs in general, for people who aren't aware, NFT just stands for non-fungible token. That basically just means the value of whatever it is that you have can fluctuate. It can go up and down, right? So whereas a dollar is a fungible token, if I give you a dollar, it's a dollar and it's going to be worth a dollar to the next person that you give it to. Right. A really good analogy is if, let's say I had the Mona Lisa, and we know that's priceless. And you put it down on a table and then a bunch of people come in and throw their pictures on top of it as well too.
Right.
That Mona Lisa's value, if I were to just pick one out, it would differ, right? Everybody's piece does not equal the price of that Mona Lisa.
Right.
So the NFT itself, the technology behind NFT is basically, it lives on what's called the blockchain. Again, these are really, really deep conversations to have. But it's basically a way that you can take a piece of art. In my case, again, there's many uses for it. But in my case, I take a piece of my art and I have physical posters that I can match with its digital counterpart. And a lot of times I use it almost as like a certificate of authenticity. I'll sign a lot of my pieces and attach a QR code that you can then scan and redeem the NFT portion of it. And that basically just says that this is it. This is real. This is original. I own this. And it's just a way of keeping track of the chain of events that has happened from the time that I actually minted it. When you put something on a blockchain, it's called minting. From the time that I do that. And then you could see everybody's hands that have touched it since then. So I sell it to you and then you sell it to somebody else and then somebody else buys it and that stays on the ledger forever. So you can look that back in the history and see what it sold for, how much it was when, and when it was, when it was created. And it's just a really interesting technology for doing things like what I do for art, for example. That's just one very, very really broad stroke of what it is. It's a pretty deep conversation, but in the sense of what I do it for, it's a lot of it is certificate of authenticity or proof of attendance, which is called a POAP. And I'll do band posters. So bands will have me do a gig poster, like you go see somebody, somewhere in Boston or Fenway or whatever. And at the merch booth, they'll have a poster there. I might have done that poster and I'll put a QR code on it. And when that person buys it, scans it, it just kind of gives them like a digital collectible that says I was at this concert, kind of a thing.
That's really cool. And kind of bringing this back to how how did you get into that specifically? Because there are so many folks, you know, people that we've talked to, people that we know personally, that get into comic book art and all these other different forms. For you, is there something so appealing to NFTs and to do this artwork that you're like, yeah, I'm going to launch an Instagram page for this. I'm going to, you know, show folks this kind of work that I do. What is that motivating factor for you to continue to do this work? You know, even amongst a time where sometimes we see just a fluctuation of different forms coming out across social media for you. So what is that like for you? And what is that main motivation behind doing NFT work?
That's a great question. You know, especially because a lot of people talk about, oh, NFTs are fad or NFTs are dead, or, you know, the crypto market's so speculative and all that stuff. For me, at the end of the day, it really comes down to the technology. And I'm in addition to being just a giant nerd about things, I love technology and I love kind of what goes into creating an NFT. There's something really fun about making your project an NFT and minting it and putting it on the blockchain and kind of doing this really cool high technical thing, which is not really so high technical. But I got into cryptocurrency at about 2019 or so. And when I saw a lot of NFTs being put out there, especially at the height of the NFT craze with the Bored Apes and, you know, the CryptoPunks and all that stuff, a lot of my friends were like, you have to do an NFT. And I never wanted to do an NFT project unless I had a real good reason to do that. I did not want to do a derivative. I didn't want to do, you know, a Bored Monkey Yacht Club or, you know, something that is just kind of like a ripoff of what somebody else is doing. I wanted to have a purpose behind any project that I would put out as an NFT. So about in 2020, I was going through a box of old drawings. I've been drawing since I was a little kid. And I came across this letter that was written by Highlights magazine editor at the time. And Highlights for Children was a magazine. Like if you had gone into any doctor's office, they would be sitting on the tables there. You know, you have, there was illustrations and stories and a bunch of fun things for kids to read. And when I was in, this was early night, say like 91, maybe 92. One of my teachers saw one of my art pieces and I was drawing mazes at the time. And I would draw them for my friends. I would create little packets. I would sell, you know, individual mazes for like 25 cents or a booklet of five or six for like a dollar. And that was my lunch money. You know, I would get a hamburger or something like that on Thursdays. And one of my teachers saw one of the pieces and she was like, this is really cool. You know, more kids need to see this. So she submitted it to the magazine. And again, this was in the early 90s with snail mail. There was no email. So it took a long time for it to be processed and them to actually look at it. I'm sure they get a ton of submissions. So it was like the following year, I actually got a letter back from the editor who said, this is really awesome. I love this. Unfortunately, we don't want people writing in the magazines. So we can't publish it. But, you know, he gave me a bunch of swag and, you know, it was a really nice letter. And I found that letter in 2020 and I said to myself, I now know what I'm going to do as an NFT project. I know that now these mazes that I've been doing for decades is something that nobody's doing. It is very different. And I think it would make a really cool NFT project.
That's really cool. I mean, tying it back, I'm so glad that teacher, that whoever that was, you know, big shout out to them, because they could have easily turned around and been like, hey, why are you selling these for money? Like, hold on a second. That's here. True too. Really bad practices, not going to be good for when you leave the school and you start doing that practice outside.
Oh yeah, we don't want entrepreneurship. We don't want to promote entrepreneurship. Nah, God forbid.
Not saying nothing. But you know, big shout out to that teacher for being like, hey, here's an opportunity for you. Let's just send it to Highlights. And yeah, you're right. Highlight magazines as a kiddo, you know, they were in our classroom. They were at the doctor's office. Everything else. So really cool that you could reflect back, see that letter and be like, yeah, you know what, for me, this moment, I got to carry this forward and do what's unique to me. So in terms of your Star Wars fandom, let's dig deep into that as well, because we are a Star Wars podcast. So it's only fitting that we do that. By the way, shout out for folks on the video here to JD and his t-shirt, the ice cream, Imperial ice cream shirt. We were talking about it before we went on here. I have not seen that t-shirt before. It was a Father's Day gift for JD. I'm going to be going everywhere and asking, do you have the Imperial ice cream t-shirt? because I'm not going to wait for a kiddo for him to give it to me.
Yeah,
to,
you're going to have to find it.
Gotta go find it.
A few years ago, and I don't even know where he got it, to be honest with you. So.
So in terms of your Star Wars fandom, knowing that you are rocking the Ice Cream Imperial t-shirt, like, where did that start for you? Because, I mean, obviously your NFT artwork reflects that, as we'll get into a little bit down the road here. But for you, where does that fandom begin? Where does your Star Wars story kind of jumpstart? Where's the sunrise for that?
Probably like most people, was when we were kids, you know. So I'm in my mid-40s now. And Star Wars, the original one, came out two years before I was born. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something that when I was a little bit older, you know, started watching movies and understanding what was going on, my father put it on because, you know, he loved them and he had it. And I remember watching that one for the first time with him. And Empire Strikes Back had already come out. And so I remember very, very clearly sitting in my living room watching that first movie with him. And although I really couldn't tell you, you know, my emotions or, you know, how I felt, it was just from the opening intro, and like probably most Star Wars fans, anytime you hear the 20th century logo, it just immediately rolls right into Star. It doesn't matter what movie comes after that, in your head, Star Wars plays after that. So
Green Lucasfilm,
So that was, you know, I remember that just stuck out. That just stuck with me forever. And my father is really what got me into Star Wars, and that set me down the path of really becoming a fan of the series. Getting my son into it when he was old enough, you know, got him into watching the movies. And he was, oh my God, he was like Grievous for Halloween one year. And, you know, we did a whole bunch of really cool projects that were around Star Wars. And, you know, to this day, you know, we still watch the new shows, and, you know, we went to the movies when they came out. And so Star Wars has always really been a part of what I like to nerd out about on a lot of things. And for me, we'll get into the maze aspect of it, but that first big project I wanted to do, it was kind of like the timing of it was perfect because it was coming out around May the 4th. And I said, all right, so it was in the beginning of the year. I was like, okay, my very first project that I'm going to do is going to be for May 4th. And I am going to call it Maze the 4th. So we'll get into that later, but that's the why I did that was a timing thing kind of, because I was like, oh, you know, May the 4th is coming up, so let's do this as my first project.
That's an incredible way to do it as well. I mean, as we know across the years here, I was a senior in high school, showing my age here. 2012. Wow, tells you we're in a pandemic. We are inside. I can't even get my dates right. In 2012, George Lucas sold it over to Disney, and it was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Not only did that happen, but then Disney comes out and says, hey, guess what? We're doing more movies. And it was like, whoa, hold on a second here. I have not been like in depth into this franchise since I was like 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Now it's being reintroduced to us. When Star Wars came back, when, you know, Disney acquired it from Lucasfilm, and suddenly we were getting new films, we were getting new content for you, like, what is the big piece that came out of this next gen Star Wars, as I like to call it? Like, have you been a fan of the films, or has it been the more animated in Disney Plus side of things that have really drawn your attention?
No. So as a Star Wars fan in general, anything that they'll put out, I want to see, I want to be a part of, I want to look at. For me, really, the restart of the new trilogy was more about, it was less about like, well, all right, I take that back. When I first heard it, it was like, oh my God, that's amazing, right? Because like the kid in you goes, this is incredible. Like what we thought was long gone is now kind of coming back in the new series. Yeah, we had the animated series, the Clone Wars and all that stuff at the time. But like having a new film or a new series of films was like, oh my God. And I am that the child in me was like, yay, more films. Then the father in me was like, now I get to do what my father did with me, and share that experience with my son, even though he had seen the movies, he's seen the prequels, he saw the original trilogy, but now to be able to take him to the theater. And I remember when Force Awakens came out, we were just like, this so excited. And we went, immediately. It was about, even though I had passed that on to him already, now it was like, we're going to go to the movies and we're going to go see these now together for the first time. Cause I had already seen them obviously a million times.
Right.
So watching that with him, I was especially the original one, the very first one, I was more watching him and I wanted to see his reactions. I remember filming him when Vader says that, he's his father. I wanted to see what his reaction was. And I wanted to have that so I can share with him when he gets older. But I already knew what the movies were, right? So going into the new movies was a clean slate, and we can just geek out on them together and have a real good father and son bonds the way my father, because at the time, yes, the first two movies were out by the time I was old enough, but Return of the Jedi, we went and seen in the theaters. So, I had that experience with my dad. Now I wanted my son to have that experience with me. So that was more about that.
Yeah. And that seems to be some of the conversations that we've had across the years, both at Comic Cons through podcast episodes and whatever else, is that folks are like, yeah, I was able to pass this on. As we know, Star Wars being super generational, I was able to pass on my love for Star Wars to my son, my daughter, whoever in my family mm-hmm. that wanted to, stand coming to a movie theater with me and actually sit there for, an hour and a half, 2 hours yeah. and listen to me absolutely scream when, when Star Wars came right up on the screen, those moments is what we kind of build off of in terms mm-hmm. of our love of Star Wars and introducing yep. those folks to that. And, the other thing I got to ask you too is, as we see The Mandalorian come to fruition, as we see Ahsoka and all these other series come out, I personally never thought that we would be heading into the realm of telling some of these stories and being introduced to new stories in the Star Wars universe. And as we know, Dave Filoni, we have a t-shirt that we sell at the podcast called In Filoni We Trust, because we do. This man is a mastermind at playing around with the canon and putting characters up on the shelf only to take them off later on down the road and say, hey, you thought they were dead, or you thought that their story was aligned with this or that. Guess what? They're back into the story now. For you, seeing The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Bad Batch, even in some of these other series that have come out through Filoni, what is like your go-to? Like, what story up to this point in the expanded, I like to call it the Disney Plus verse of Star Wars, have you kind of gravitated towards, or what can you reflect on as one of your favorites up to this point?
So obviously, when The Mandalorian came out, it was like amazing. First of all, they're just absolutely gorgeous, right? I mean, the budgets has gone into them.
Fantastic.
They're unbelievable, and they're beautiful, and they're so well written, and the music and everything else, they're fantastic. And while I love them, and I loved seeing what happened to Boba, what happened after him, which was amazing to see that too. For me right now, what I'm loving more than anything right now was Andor.
Ooh, okay. First answer we've got Andor. I love this.
And it's funny because you didn't mention it. And I know there's a lot of people that, I think more probably didn't like it than did. But there was something about Andor. So it actually stems from Rogue One, right? There was something about Rogue One that was brand new. It was gritty. It was dark. It was not a positive film. It was, it was a tragic ending, but it was a tragic, hopeful ending. And a lot of that grit was, there was still some of that grit in The Mandalorian, definitely in Boba, and even in Ahsoka, in the terms of like, just the heaviness that you felt watching Ahsoka and how conflicted she was and how really so, like, I don't want to say depressing, but it wasn't Snips that we knew in the Clone Wars. You know what I mean? Like, she's aged, matured, and life has beaten her down. She was like Luke, like older Luke, where he was just like,
yes, very much
tired of getting beaten down and, kind of at wit's end. But there was this grittiness to Andor, and it was a Star Wars show without being a Star Wars show. Obviously the backstory, it is a backstory to Rogue One. And at times it didn't even feel like I was watching a Star Wars show, with the exception, obviously, of the characters and kind of what the theme behind it. But there was just something about Andor that I I enjoyed watching that. I really, really, it took me out of like what you would normally expect from a Star Wars experience and put me in somewhere in between Rogue One and A New Hope. Yeah. But in today's times, you know what I mean? So I really liked Andor. I really liked Andor a lot.
And it was even Filoni himself who said, like, Andor was going to be the series where you don't got Jedi, you don't got lightsabers, you don't have any of that. You're now going in depth into the life of Cassian Andor, his upbringing, you know, like what he says in Rogue One, I've been in this fight since I was young. And we finally get some of that. And I think the beauty also behind Andor too, like you said, that grittiness, is a lot of fans for years have been like, yeah, I love the story of the Jedi. The Acolyte's going to find a nice balance between that grittiness and the High Republic era itself.
Yeah.
But it's going to be super exciting. But with Andor specifically, it was kind of that, hey, you love the grittiness that you get from some other series. You love that grittiness that exists in other stories that are being told. Star Wars can do that too. And we can do it in a way that allows you to explore a character that, hey, by the way, remember that movie Rogue One that Gareth Edwards directed? Yeah, that character is back in the series here. And they find this way of doing it unlike, I don't know, it's unlike anything I've seen before. And that grittiness is, I think, what Star Wars fans are starting to realize, ooh, when you start introducing me to more of that in my Star Wars or in the Star Wars that we get, I'm really drawn in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It just seems like that.
I think they're finding like a good balance between, especially with the newer shows that came out, they're kind of finding that a good balance between the typical Star Wars feel and adding some more depth and that grit to it. And I think that it really came crashing together for the Andor show. I think that right there was like peak storytelling in a really beautiful cinematic way in a universe that we're familiar with at a time that we're not really familiar with. Right. But still made it like, I need to watch one more. And then it ends and you're like, oh my God, like when is this now? What, you know what I mean? Like now there's like three more shows that are going to come out before Andor 2 comes out. And it's like, you already know the end. That's the worst part. Like, you know, the ending, you know how this ends, but what's great about it is that with any movie, any of the shows, you can take, like in Filoni we trust, you can take a throwaway line in any of those films and make a film or a show out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible, and it'll be never ending, I hope. But it just opens up a world of possibilities of like, how far back do they want to go? How far forward do they want to go? Who else are we going to bring in and tell a story to that you might not? And all of a sudden, when you start connecting all these things, you're like, holy cow, like how did they connect all this stuff? A lot of planning, a lot of smarter minds than us, and you know, and we just enjoy every second of it anyway.
We let them handle that. We will sit back, we will order pizza, we will do what is necessary in order to enjoy Star Wars. And I mean, fun fact about Andor too, I had a teacher a friend of mine that I'd worked with for many years in the public school system here on the New Hampshire seacoast, and they said just before spring break this year, her students started chanting one way out on their way to the buses, and I couldn't be any more proud.
Amazing.
Couldn't be any more proud of her students than ever. That is the ultimate Star Wars reference to utilize now within the public school before break. So not encouraging any students who might be listening or watching to do that, because you could get yourself in trouble. However,
it's a cool teacher, maybe.
She does have a Darth Vader helmet in her classroom.
Okay, so, well, there you go. All right, fair enough.
It's more than appropriate at that point. But, you know, we all have amazing Star Wars stories. We all have amazing things that bring us together in this galaxy far, far away. For you, JD, in terms of everything in the Star Wars universe, if I were to, you know, just put you in a situation where it's like, okay, you can order whatever food you want, you can get whatever you want to drink, this is your last meal ever, and you can only watch one Star Wars film to end it all, which movie are you choosing? It's kind of like Last Meals, but it's our version on it.
Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I really don't care.
Oh, let's see.
Rogue One.
Really? No, yes. I'm going to applaud Rogue. That's a great choice, Rogue One, yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because that's one of those films that I haven't watched a billion times because there's something about it I want to preserve in my mind so that when I watch it again, while I remember bits and pieces, I don't know every line by heart. I don't know every scene by heart. I don't know, you know, I know obviously what happens, but it's that fun again of watching it for the first time, but not really. You know, last meal, if I'm sitting down watching A New Hope or, you know, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, any of those, you're just going to sit there and you're probably not go, you mean you're going to pay attention, but have pay attention because in your head you're replaying the entire movie and you're saying every part and you're, you know, I mean, it's like, so
sure.
I've had my fair share over the last 40 plus years of watching enough of those films to say that I would watch Rogue One. That would be my last one.
That's incredible. Yeah, I think we've only had one other person say Rogue One, and they're like, well, I will only watch Rogue One if I can get Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, just tweet out Buffalo Wild Wings and we can make it happen for you. Not the chicken end.
We can do each his own, I guess. Do each his own. But good choice, though.
It was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, we're at this exciting part of the podcast. I know, you know, there's so much more Star Wars and amazing things coming up down the road. This will not be Jamie's last time, of course, here on the podcast. However,
that'd be great. Appreciate
for that. All of you block haters, I'm not done talking with you about Star Wars, right, my friend. Like, we got so much more coming up down the road, especially when The Acolyte comes out, too. There's going to be a lot more stuff there to chat about. But at this point in time, of course, JD's got some really cool things to share with y'all. A little bit of something coming from the crew at NMAs and the Brick City Blockade podcast. JD, you want to fire away about what's going on
here? Yeah, sure. Do we want to talk about kind of just like show some of the art and then
let's show the folks. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to shift gears a little and we're going to kind of just talk about the project that I do, which is NMAs. We talked a little bit about it in the beginning where I create these really complex, large format posters that feature a design. Let's just say, I'm going to show you guys in a second, but like the first one here is going to be Luke's saber. And so it features Luke's saber and then I draw a maze around the whole thing. And all of my pieces have a maze incorporated into it that is solvable. Every one of them. And the very first series, so aside from a giveaway that I had done when I first launched my project, the very first series that I did, as I said earlier, was around May the 4th. And I came up with this idea to do Maze the 4th. And the first year I launched it, I did four. I did four posters. So I did Vader Saber. Luke Saber was first, then Vader Saber. Then I did Han's pistol and I did Greedo's pistol. And the reason why I did that too is because I kind of wanted to have like, you know, a light and dark kind of a thing. Like I wanted to have, you know, like the juxtapose Luke saber with Vader saber. And then you'll see the two blasters, the way that they're positioned is actually, you know, where Han was sitting and Greedo was sitting and they're facing each other that way. So that was the first series that I had done. I put those out for year one. And then for year two, which was last year, I just did one big one. I did an 18x24 one in color. And this was the Falcon. I had to do the Falcon. So it's like a kind of a top level view of the Falcon. And I did the maze around it. And it looks like it's kind of like ready to make a jump. So I'll share those with you. So all of my mazes, I hand draw first. So I hand draw everything to scale with a pencil, typically with a pencil, because you know I can erase and move things around as needed. And then depending on the size of it, sometimes I'll scan it if it's like an 8.5x11. But if it's a larger format than that, I'll take a high res picture of it. So I'll just, you know, have it on my table and I'll take a top down photo, bring that into my computer. I go into Illustrator and I redraw the entire thing. So it's very labor intensive. But that gives me the flexibility. So the reason why I do that, number one, because the final output is a digital output, you know, it's an NFT project. So I need that digital aspect of it. Two, I can manipulate it on a computer, clean up the lines, make it look really sharp, color it in if I wanted to. And then just kind of prep it for print for anybody who wants to print these things out.
So cool.
So let me see if I can, I know it's kind of small. Oh, there you go. Kind of small and hard to see. I'll kind of pull in on some of these here, but you can see this is all pencil drawn and kind of, just, you know, two scaled. I think this is 11 by 24. All of my mazes, for the most part, all of my mazes, they start in the bottom, somewhere on the left, more times than not in the bottom left and end on the bottom right. So you'll see here, it starts down here and it ends down here. So this was the very first one I did. I kind of wanted to have this like, you know, almost like a cross section of the saber. So you could see the kyber crystals, you can kind of see the inner workings of it. And I just wanted to have this really cool, not just like your typical saber shot, you know, where you see the full saber. I kind of wanted to show that the insides of it, what that looks like. Right. Mm-hmm. And then of course the maze goes all around it. And like I said, yes, this is a completely solvable maze. And then, so this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like after I brought it into Illustrator and I cleaned it up, you know, with all the line art and stuff like that. So this is the final, this is the final output of it. So it's just like really nice, clean. So yeah, I draw the maze in pencil the first time and then I redraw it. I trace over it again the whole second time. And you know, it's, so it's again, but it just gives it that look to it that, you know, it's cool to see the hand-drawn one of it too. And a part of this series, actually, somebody will be able to purchase the entire set, you know, coming up soon. You'll be able to purchase the original. You'll get the original drawings of it. So I keep all of that stuff. But again, this is just what it looks like once I digitize it. And then we save same thing here. You know, we got Vader saber here. Again, kind of just wanted to show what the inside looked like with some dirt. You know, this one was more handmade, gritty. You know, wires exposed and stuff like that. So this is we got Vader's there. And then so we got Han's blaster. The two blasters I just did like kind of what they look like on the side. So I didn't do like a cross section because it's just a blaster. Like, whatever. It's not big.
That craftsmanship. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So you know, it's made up of a ton of shapes and lines and stuff like that. And just it's just a really nice clean look of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like each, you know, you could it's hard to tell on this because this is actually not the high res version of it. I actually just kind of pulled a smaller version of it, but you can just see kind of just like the makeup of it.
Wow.
And then of course we got Greedo's.
There's Greedo's there, yeah.
Little noisy cricket. So this one actually has more maze because it's, you know, it's a much smaller blaster, so there's a lot more maze to fill in on this one here.
Wow.
So that was series one, so that was year one that I did that. And then last year this was the Falcon. So this was again, wow, this is,
look at that,
you know, I wanted to do something that looked like, you know, it had a little more detail, and this was color as a, you know, compared to the first series. I wanted to do almost like a technical drawing, like what a blueprint looks like, and actually I can show you in a second. I actually did. So there is a variation of all of these that look like a blueprint. And I'll show you that. I'll show you that too. But this here, I really wanted to put more detail into it. Still keep that minimalist look that I, you know, that illustrated look that I have. Mm-hmm. And then also I just wanted to make the background just kind of almost look like it's getting like just about to jump into hyperspace where, you know, we have like that, you know, you got the darkness and all of a sudden the light beams start shooting at you and, you know, and you get some of those blues and purples in there. So kind of wanted to give some color to it. While still looking like it's in space. So this was last year's, and I just did the one for this one because this is a big one.
Actually,
oh, he's going to get something, folks.
Well, no, but you can see. Like, I mean, you probably can't see because it's just going to take up a lot of space. Oh, let me hide the Falcon here.
But you can see, how, you know, how big this is to scale. So this is how big they are. So they're not little, you know, you frame
not at all.
Probably the size of this one back here.
Yeah, look at that.
So this is, like I said, 11 by 24. The Falcon one is 18 by 24. So it's a much bigger poster.
Wow. That's impressive. It's a lot of time that goes into that.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? It's something that I love to do, and it's something that I've been doing for a very long time. So it's one of those things where I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind it. As we're talking through this, I'm not going to show the whole thing. You can actually find this video on my, I think it's on my Instagram page, but this is it might even be on my X page, to be honest with you.
Cool.
I typically will record my drawing, you know, with me drawing the piece. And then when I bring it into the computer, I will record that as well too, because it's just nice content pieces. It's just something fun to do. Sure. So this right here is me digitizing Greedo. And what you'll see here is I take my drawing and I put it inside. Did it pause? Oh, no, it didn't. I put it inside of Illustrator and I just use that now as the base for me to be able to trace over it, you know, where each of those lines are. So you'll see here, it's just kind of in real time, it just kind of goes through, and this is hours. So this is the fourth hour now. So I think this was a total of 6 hours, maybe just under 6 hours.
Wow.
And you just kind of get into all the pieces there, and then doing the art for the blaster itself at the end.
It just keeps. Yeah.
There we go.
That's impressive.
Resolves. Yep.
Very cool. And that's just you going through, essentially. Is that a digitizing process? And then
that's the digitizing process. That? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's me turning that from a hand-drawn pencil to, you know, bringing it into the computer and making it a digital art piece.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. And the super cool part about this is too, is as was mentioned just before, you know, JD was teasing it just before everything else, May the 4th is coming up very, very soon.
Very soon.
JD, yeah, very soon.
So very soon. Team, so we got to work a little quickly here.
That's right.
It's already April 1st, so we got to move a little here.
Absolutely. But we've got some exciting stuff coming for you, you blockaders out there. Maze the 4th from Inamaze is right around the corner. And JD is just an amazing person overall. And he is going to be doing a digital set giveaway to one of you listeners out there from the Brick City Blockade Network. Now, JD, in terms of this giveaway and everything else, we're going to be collaborating across Instagram and Twitter in order to make this happen, correct, for this one listener?
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to do two, right? So I want the first one's going to be the digital set, right? I'm going to give away the digital set of the series 1 and 2to a lucky listener. And we'll talk about that in 2 seconds. And then the second one is going to be a little bit more of a participation. We're going to do an audience participation one. So with Maze the 4th coming up, I want to know from the listeners what they would like to see. Now that you've seen year 1 and 2, what would you like to see for series 3, for year 3 on this? So you listeners, I think what we're going to do, on the Instagram post of this, right?
On the Instagram post.
When you post this, in the comment section, throw down your idea that you would like to see as the next maze in the Maze the 4th series. We're going to take the top couple of answers, and we're going to do a Twitter poll, X poll, and whichever one is chosen from the top two or whichever one is chosen to be the maze for Maze the 4th, the person who chose that first, the person who says, you know, oh, I want the, whoever said the Falcon, if it was the Falcon and the Falcon was chosen, you're going to get a print of that. We're going to give you an actual physical print of that once that's done.
It's absolutely incredible. And just that cooperation between Instagram and Twitter for all you blockaders out there is a really great chance. Of course, make sure to follow Brick City Blockade and Inamaze on Instagram and over on Twitter in order to participate in all those separate ways. We'll have all those details, of course, as they start arising across both Instagram and Twitter for you to participate. However, really make sure once you see those posts go up, especially on Instagram, make sure to put those in your story, make sure to share those out, make sure to go into the comments section, add your comment in. It's going to be a nice cooperative, what do I want to say? It's like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon going back to back, essentially, that kind of feeling with this awesome opportunity. So we're going to be taking a look at all of those amazing things coming through. By April 11th, we'll have everything set and ready to go. That gives you a couple weeks to get yourselves rolling across, listening to the episode, sharing it out, and following us, of course. And then two lucky individuals.
We'll What do you want to do for the full set? Do you want to do something like they have to follow both of us, and then we'll do like a Twitter picker from that list, or what do you want? I want to do something on your side too. So what do you want to do for the digital giveaway? What do you think?
So what we're going to do is we're going to have folks retweet, like, and comment with their favorite Star Wars quote using hashtag #MazeTheFourth. So it'll be an opportunity for everybody to share their favorite Star Wars quote, retweeting the episode, make sure to get it out to all of their fans, and hashtag #MazeTheFourth will get you in to that choice, that selection of winning something as well. So that will be,
and you don't have to remember all this. I'm sure for you guys listening, we're going to have plenty of mentions of both of these contests. So if you're driving while listening to this, don't write down anything or write a note on your phone or anything like that. Well, we're going to provide you with all the information. Just know that two of you people are going to win some really cool prizes, courtesy of the both of us. And, we'll make that happen for you guys. So don't worry.
Absolutely. And it's obviously, you shouldn't be on Apple CarPlay playing around either while you're driving. That's my little safety input there for everybody who's listening to this podcast. Just set it up and get going. It's been an amazing episode here, of course, with JD in a maze. All these amazing Star Wars stories, everything coming up down the road here. Of course, it is also not a podcast episode, an official podcast episode at the Brick City Blockade, until we do this one specific thing. It's a little thing we like to call plug time, where you get to share where people can find you across social media. So JD, where can the good people find everything in a maze and the upcoming contest across social media?
Very easy. In a maze NFT on both platforms, on both X and on Instagram, and then inamazenft.com.
Amazing. You guys can follow me over on Twitter at @X_RobinWVote, over on Instagram at @IG_RobinWVote. And of course, the Brick City Blockade over at Real Fandom Talk on Instagram, over on Twitter at Real Fandom Talk. Of course, subscribe over on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. And amazing things coming up down the road too. Little shameless plug for Commander Nerd, our good friend Andrew Garrish. We're going to be going and doing a May the 4th showing of The Phantom Menace down in the greater Boston area. It's going to be a nice little meetup event to get all the blockaders together on that Saturday. So we're super excited. So stay tuned for details around that as well. JD, so amazing having you here on the podcast. And make sure, folks, you'll be seeing more and more of us, of course, across social media during this time. But JD, thanks so much for coming on. We look forward to having you on again.
I really appreciate it. And, it's a little ways away, but I'm sure that we're going to do something for Granite State Comic Con.
Oh,
we're literally right there. So
absolutely. You might see the Brick City Blockade crew and JD walking around there at the convention as well. So until next time, Blockaders, as we always say here on the podcast, may the force be with you.
Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
See y'all.